Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Grabbins, a podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on the old bruvs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
So nice to see you again, Ronnie.
You too. Yesterday I was in here in the studio all alone.
I know. I was up in my childhood bedroom, but today I'm back in the big city.
You're back in business.
I'm back here.
We're still in New York, so we're in the Acast studios this week, or at least I am. Ben will be back in the bedroom tomorrow.
No, tomorrow I'll be here with you as well.
Well, there
you go.
And then
on Thursday, back in the bedroom.
All right. Well, they can't see us anyway, mostly. If you do want to see us, though, you can get a video of all our recaps at patreon.com/watchwhatcroppens. That's also where you get bonus episodes, a weekly blog of all these shows that I do, just ragging on people in written form. And then also, that's free, by the way. You can just sign up for that. And also bonus episodes. We're going to cover Love Island today for that. And there's a Discord server to go hang out and all that good stuff. Okay. Today is Below Deck Mediterranean Season 11, Episode 1. The beginning of a new season of Below Deck Mediterranean. What do you think?
Wow. Well, it's, you know, it's always a hard pivot going from the blue uniforms to the red ones. For the first time I've ever on Below Deck. Well, maybe I won't say ever, because when Sailing Yacht was on, maybe I had the same reaction, but I'm like, this boat feels so cramped and small. I've gotten so used to Below Deck Down Under and how big that boat was. Like, that galley was enormous. All their bedrooms had like all that space. And now every crew quarter space is so tight. They can't even get like shots of them. You sort of see like a shoulder and like a head. And when they're trying to change side by side, they like can't fit. I'm like, I'm actually feeling a bit claustrophobic on this season. What do you think?
It is tight. Whoa, a couple of hotties on this.
Oh, yeah, a lot of hotties.
I was like, how are they going to make up for bringing back both Nathan and Joe, those douchebags? But then they sent two hotties from heaven. My goodness.
Two
a Southern boy, and they're both really tall.
Very tall.
Very exciting. I'm sure they'll be total douchebags as well. This is Below Deck.
Yep.
So,
I mean, the one thing that may work in their favor is that Joe is such a big douchebag that he may take up all the douchebag air in the room that we just don't even notice how big of a douchebag those two are.
Yeah.
But
I have missed Joe's whisper voice, though. I mean, I know it hasn't been long,
but I love his, but how could Nathan do this to me? I'm
just like, the eyebrows that whisper, the whispering eyebrows.
I've been doing nothing but working on my career ever since the last season, and I just all I focus on is that I just want to be the best. I want to be a captain someday.
I'm like, oh, shush. You don't get an award for finally deciding to do your job for 3 weeks.
What has I been working on myself since last season? The last season was 5 minutes ago. What have you been at home tying knots in your sleep?
Please. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, we're about 2 meters away. We're about 2 meters away. Joe, eat your cereal.
If I were a person, I would have tied a knot in the left instead of the right.
He's just eating his cereal. We're about 1.5 meters away. We're about 1.25 meters
That's
away.
That's what I would have done.
We're about 2-2.
Yeah, he's really
wrong job.
He's being an underminer.
I was 2-2-ing. It's the wrong job.
So he's back.
But Captain Sandy, here we go. And you know, Captain Jason, God bless his heart, he ran into one thing, I think 10 years ago or something, and they showed a news clip of it, and we've never let that go. And then Captain Sandy ran into something today for the first time ever.
It's because people were partying instead of taking naps. Couldn't hear what was going on, and boom, crash.
Yeah, that's true. These people are above the noise ordinance.
They're a little too loud in Dubrovnik.
Yeah, last night was the Knicks game here in New York, and I'm staying in Times Square, and they had a screening in Bryant Park, so there was like thousands of people right down the street. Wow, you guys love your sports.
Yeah, I was really upset about that game, I have to say. Really?
They didn't win?
They did not win.
Oh, you would never know it from all the screaming and yelling. Didn't sound like they were dying.
Yeah.
I did take an Ambien, though, because I was like, I can't take any of that. I have to drown this out.
Well, maybe the next game, we can have no distractions of any political figures at the game, and that would help a lot. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, you think Donald Trump made them lose?
Sure. Why not?
Wouldn't that make you win? I mean, I'm sure they all love their Trumpy over there.
You know? You think the basketball players love their Trump?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it works.
I don't know.
I just figure if you like sports, we're so different that you probably like different people politically than me too. Like, I just don't understand how people get this upset over balls being thrown. They're like, go crazy, crazy.
Well, I think regardless of where they are on the political spectrum and who anyone votes for, I think it probably is a major distraction to have the president of the United States and the mayor too, both at your game. Just like, let's just like focus
Well, they're famous. They have people in the audience all the time. Look at Madison Square Garden. There, it's always like Jack Nicholson with whoever, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Jack I'm like, Nicholson. I just want a whole bunch of tame gays in the audience. So that way the Knicks can just focus on winning and we can all sit there and be quiet and be like, wow, oh, that was a good shot. Okay. Sorry, I didn't want to get too loud.
I just had like a really straight night because I did the show I saw last night was Six on Broadway, which is good. It was all women, you know, being Henry VIII's wives or whatever, yeah, singing. But that was like all like a bunch of straight tourists and stuff. It wasn't like going to see Jellicle Ball or something. Yeah. Like it was on the straighter end for Broadway. Yeah. And then I went home and watched Love Island, which there's nothing straighter than that. Very licking straight each other's faces while the straight people were outside screaming. And I was like, is this Pride Month? What have I done to myself on Pride Month?
It's rough. It's a hard time.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just felt like, you know.
Do you think if Henry VIII realized that there would have been
straight?
Do you think if Henry VIII realized there was going to be a musical about his life and, you know, a few hundred years later, that he would have maybe found a way to have two more wives? So that way it could just be called Eight and it would make like more thematic sense because he is Henry VIII and there were eight wives. I feel like he didn't think that through. He could have found two more wives.
Oh, he doesn't want to compete with his own number.
No, I think
they didn't even put him in there. It was just all about the women, which I liked.
Good.
Ha, take that, Henry VIII.
Take that.
You douche.
Well, either way.
So here we go. Below Deck Med, Season 11, Episode 1. King's Crash Landing. Ooh, get hit. Game of Thrones.
Yes, Dubrovnik. So everyone is like, they're heading to Dubrovnik and they're all like, recording little, you know, videos on their phone to be like, oh my God, Dubrovnik. And they're, everyone's excited. And it's like, oh my God, here we go. It's like the opening number of a Broadway show itself. Like we're coming to the big city. And of
Dubrovnik.
Course, so she went to Dubrovnik on TWA.
And we see Gail and Nathan, and Gail's doing that thing. You know, when you just have when you've just had your baby, you know, like me, and all you do is talk to even if you're talking to someone at the store, you're still talking to them like the baby.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing that, which I really like. She's like, oh, we're almost late for the flight, but who's not in the business of missing flights? Oh, so we're not in the business of missing flights.
I gotta get to the goddamn flight.
And we see Kat in Nova Scotia, and she's like, hey, chat, follow me on my journey. I'm super, super, duper excited. Let's go. Which is, I guess.
Who's following those people that do that?
He's like, I got to figure out what a lady in Nova Scotia is doing. What are travel plans?
Who's following these random? I mean, I guess that is the modern world, right? People just following randos somewhere. It's like, guess what? I'm going to the store. And like, oh, my God. Hold on, honey. Can we leave for dinner in about 20 minutes? I got to see this girl go to the store. It's very important.
There is an influencer who lives like in the Arctic Circle in like a territory of Norway who like just puts her life up on YouTube. It's like, here I am and I am making pancakes and it is 8 p.m. and the sun is still in the sky, whatever. And it has millions of views, millions and millions and millions of views. But that's because she's in the extreme north. I don't think like
really. You think people are like, well, I want to watch somebody today. God, only in the extreme north, though. Got to search
because it's like, how does she live? Whereas someone living in Nova Scotia, I'm like, all right, I get it.
Really? Do you think people just look at me and are like, oh my God, how does he live? Like, how does he even walk upright? This fucking idiot.
There probably are some people who are like that.
I'll tape myself.
You know, I think as long as scissors. You make yourself fascinating, you know.
I've got a string on my pants.
Yeah.
Okay. So you see, that could have been it. That could have been my TikTok.
That could have been a 500,000 view.
Yeah. Video. It could have been like, guys, rayon phrase differently than other things. How do I fix this string on my knee?
It could be an ongoing arc.
Yeah.
Guys, day three, the string is still there.
I still haven't taken the steps I need to get rid of that string.
By the way, you know what I got today? This has nothing to do with this, but this would be part of my video. I bought some Kinder Buenos.
You're obsessed.
Yeah.
I've been talking about those every day. I'm glad you got some.
Well, I got some in case you want some.
Hell yeah, I want some. We'll after hearing so much about it, I wake up like Kinder.
I'll give you some afterwards.
So we see someone named Cooper in Charleston. Unfortunately, it's not the Cooper we all know from Charleston. The gay from Southern Charm way back in the day, the OG gay.
Yeah.
Who had a big party, a big ball. Like the Koopa ball, but he would only allow men to come if they were escorted by a lady.
Yeah.
Because that's how we do it here in the South.
Our notes say Cooper in Charleston. And I just want to also say, in general, You never have to say in Charleston if you mention the name Cooper. Like, if your name is Cooper, we know you're in Charleston. Like, it's just automatically there.
Unless you're Minnie, because those are everywhere.
Unless you're Marissa, then we know you're in Newport Beach.
It's Marissa.
Marissa Cooper. Who's Coop. That? DLC.
Whoops. Pop culture fail. So Cooper is like, I got this charger. I hear you need those in Europe.
As opposed to all the solar panel cell phones here in the States.
Yeah. I really like Cooper. I mean, really, because he's cute. So, yeah. But also because he's just one of those people, like, I don't like when you look at them and they look different than they are. Like, if someone looks really mean and then it turns out they're really sweet. And then you're like, well, that was tricky. Yeah. This poor person's walking around with this horrible, like, mean face, and they're really nice. Or when it's the other way around. Cooper just looks dumb. Like, Cooper is, like, the kind of guy you're not going to walk up and ask Cooper, like, directions. You know? You know what you're getting.
Yeah. He definitely, like, he's had a lot of concussions, and I think we're seeing it, you know?
Yeah, you're seeing it in real time.
In real time.
Yeah, you're seeing inflamed brain. For sure. But super cute.
He seems like a very...
I hope he makes himself feel better by taking his shirt off a lot.
He should. I hope they keep the temperature hot in that room.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we see Genevieve. Which one is this? Now, just to warn people who are new to this show. Hi. We don't really remember anybody's names or where they're from or what they even look like probably till 6 weeks in.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot to shove all these below deck people down our faces. Now, which one is this?
Genevieve is one of my early favorites just because I can tell she's neurotic. She is the one who is, she's an only child from New York City whose parents are very successful, and she wants to be even more successful by becoming a purser. And she does not like being told what to do, especially in the realm of tips.
She's my favorite so far.
She's my favorite.
Because she's clearly crazy.
She's crazy.
And she's got a lot of issues.
She's a bitch.
And I cracked up when she said, my parents are very successful. I grew up in New York City. My parents are just riding the city. And that's why I'm going to be more successful than them as the person who orders supplies on the bus.
I know.
Like, wow, how far does purser go? I'm not shaming the purser job. I just mean, like, in all the jobs in New York City, how are you going to outjob those people with your purser job?
I know. I mean, like, you know, I respect that a purser is the top of that career path, but there is something funny about saying I'm going to be more successful than my parents who are professionals in New York City because I will be making beds for for some random ladies with heart shape cutouts on their
butts. Watch out, mom. Puff, puff. Pooping the pillow.
I've made it. Now, ladies, if you're looking for your cutout assless dresses, they're in the closet.
Girl, at least let me see you make a towel into a swan. So she's like, I travel all the time, but it doesn't make it any easier because I still feel like a chicken with its head cut off. Then Kaylee in Budva.
Montenegro.
She's a blonde.
She is. She's like, I think she's the, yes, you're right.
She has to be because it's kind of annoying. Kaylee, she drops her suitcase down the stairs. And on Below Deck, they're like, if you're a blonde, we need to open with a shot of you dropping your suitcase down.
Yes.
That's just a rule on Below Deck.
Yes. And then we have the chef, Joy. She's in Cannes and she's like, I'm on my way to Croatia. And I love that her name is Joy because you know that she's not going to be full of it. This is going to be her only happy episode.
Yes. Now that I love a descriptive name that's a lie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She has Stephanie Izzard hair, or not from this week's Top. Did you watch Top Chef, by the way?
No, I forgot. Love Island is really just taking my whole life.
I watched so much Love
Island. Is it over? Top Chef?
That's not the finale.
You know what? If I find out who won before I watch it, because those goddamn straight people won't stop licking each other on my TV, I'm going to be pissed.
I watched it. I watched it this morning.
Do not tell me.
I won't.
Oh, you can tell me.
No.
I mean, we're doing a bonus later.
No. So I'm not going to. But I watched it this morning. Bad. But then as a result, I still have like 10 minutes left of Love Island. So I figure it's like...
They just tow around.
There's slumber
party. The bombshells come.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. So
that's new people make out with
people,
everybody.
It's new people, slumber party.
Yeah.
Right?
I missed most of that too, because it was just...
I know. I watched...
I just started swiping, and then I like came down from my phone, and they were still just licking each other's faces.
Yeah, yesterday was my Love Island binge day, and I was like, I love Love Island, And I love Love, but I'm like, this is a lot.
Yeah, Love Island, you really have to keep up with that from the first episode, and you have to watch it every day every or you're screwed.
But like now I'm caught up and I will be doing it every day and I feel great about it. Okay, so speaking of Love Island, here comes Aisha. Hey, Dubrovnik, Croatia. I'm about to become Croatia.
Then we see Luke in Cape Town. And this is the other hot guy.
Oh,
the other tall guy.
I think he's even hotter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he's got the whole row to himself, so he's psyched. And then we go to Gail and Nathan and their little baby at their rental in Dubrovnik.
Yeah, and they're pulling up to their rental, and this is the same rental we saw at the end of last season. So we actually have like a weird overlap, because what we're seeing now actually happened before the end of last season. Because I don't know if you remember, but the little epilogue on last season of Below Deck Met is that we came to the same rental, and they were there, and then Captain Sandy's like, well, would love to have you back. It's like, sorry, Gail, I'll have to go to meet Captain Sandy. So he like leaves to go on the charter. But here they haven't even gotten to the rental yet. So like this is the first time I think we've ever seen a Below Deck season premiere before the last season ended.
Always had to give a little button for the last season.
Yeah. It's like when you find out that there's parts of Canada that are further south than parts of America, North America. You know, USA. Okay. Anyway, relatable content.
It's like that. So, Gail, except I don't know geography at all. You could tell me Dubrovnik was down the street. And I'd be like, yeah, makes sense. Well, I have no idea. So, Gail is like, Umo, we're going to get so much vomit on that couch, aren't we? And so Nathan tells us that after the last season, him and Gail decided to give it another chance. So, you know, he wants to show her that he loves her. And he made a mistake, guys, but he's grown up a little bit. Now, how? I don't know. Because last I saw, he was on this show. He dumped Gail, made her cry, dumped her for no reason, really, and ghosted her. Mm-hmm. Didn't only dump her, ghosted her. Goes on a boat. Then him and Joe are kind of banging everybody they can. And then Kizzy liked Joe. Well, Kizzy liked everybody. But Kizzy was trying to get with Joe. And then Kizzy, that didn't work out with Joe because he was with that girl whose boyfriend had passed away. And then so Nathan tried to get with Kizzy, but then the second she actually didn't sleep with him, then he was like, oh, I miss Gail. So that's how I remember it. I don't remember where the growing up part is.
I'm not sure.
But now he's proving that he's a really good person by getting on Joe for being a womanizer.
Mm. Yeah.
To make us think that he wasn't a womanizer. You were the same.
Yeah.
And you are the same. I don't believe you. That's a long way of saying, I don't believe you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do think that Joe is the worst of the two of them in terms of womanizing. But you know what? The other thing with Nathan is that he is going for a new haircut this season.
I approve.
I feel like that's going in the right direction.
I think biggest haircut shamer because I'm bald and I'm projecting.
Yeah. Well, be careful who you whose hairstyles you make fun of. Yeah, you got to be careful. People can be very sensitive about it. But that being said, Nathan's hair. I think it's going in the right direction.
But I'm a hair shamer, is the point.
I think I appreciate where he's going. I think we still need some work. I think, you know what it is? It's like he's got like corners, and I would love to see what I would love for Nathan's hair would be for him to embrace the round shape of his head instead of trying to give himself corners in the back. So it's not a shaming. It's just I think we can still do even better. It's an aspirational, like let's bring it up. You're going the right direction, right?
I'm not shaming because I asked for a haircut for years, and I feel like this was a gift to me. So
We love it.
As someone without hair, it's really hard to see people squander what they have. You know, the rest of us, the bald of us, are out here like, come on, man, you have all this opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, he just needs to, I think, we're going to work on it. Now we go to Sandy, and she's like, Dubrovnik is one of the most beautiful places I've been in Croatia. Okay, Dubrovnik has a huge, extensive coastline, diverse anchorages, and the old town dates back to the 13th century, and they filmed a ton of Game of Thrones here. So you know how they say winter is coming? Well, for me, hold on, everyone get ready. Charter season is coming. God.
Did you watch Game of Thrones? Because winter is coming is not a good thing. Winter is coming means like we're all about to die.
Yeah. Also, every time boats came to King's Crossing, something terrible happened.
Something horrible.
Like when the boats arrive, things explode, okay?
Yeah. It's never good.
It's not good.
So Aisha comes on and, you know, runs to Sandy like they haven't seen each other in 50 years, you know. Jumps in her arms. And we see that they were like actually vacationing together.
Like the day prior.
Yes. And we see them like jumping into the ocean together and going down a water slide together, skiing somewhere together, paragliding together, you know, riding a camel together.
They're doing the amazing
pyramids.
They just wanted to see where all the cool places are. And Aisha's like, I may be engaged. Scott and I are getting married after this charter season. But Sandy's my work wife and the marriage is going really strong.
Yeah. And then she looks over the CVs of all the stews and stuff.
She's very excited that she has a third stew. It's not just a team of three. It's a team of four. She goes, and she is thrilled.
Yeah. So he's got Genevieve, Kaylee, Smith, and what? Yep. So there's four guys. So she's going crazy. And she's like, I genuinely feel the same feeling as when Scott proposed.
Oh, God, don't say that. No, you're going to stick your finger up your butt again.
So now Aisha goes through the boat and she's like, oh my God, it's Earth Toned. I love Earth Toned. It reminds me of the Earth.
Beesh. And then then Nathan comes in. He's like, hey, Captain. And she's like, oh, hey, great to see you. So when do I get to meet the baby? Okay. Here's a little onesie I made. It's a uniform for the baby. I know you think it's just like a gag gift, but I actually expect the baby to be showing up tomorrow for work to clean that teak.
I will never love anybody more than Aisha just because she says things like, I love beige! With such conviction. So now Aisha's looking over the cabins and they are tiny. And she's like, is this a cabin for ants? And then we go to Sandy and Nathan. And they're still talking about this baby, you know. And then Nathan's like, oh, this was our first time apart. It was so emotional. She's like, well, I'm real happy you're back on board. You're going to love your deckhands. Great experience. And I got one you're going to be super happy about. Let me give you a hint. He's got little caterpillars on his face, and they're adorable. It's his name. Everybody rhymes with ho.
Okay. Can't tell if he's smiling or if he's frowning. He's like that one emoji that's embarrassed. It's Joe. It's Joe.
He's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Well, this is going to be interesting. She's like, what's wrong? You don't like him anymore? Come on.
He's like, well, we really haven't talked. He's like, oh, but you were bromancing all the time. Remember that? Fun times, right? And we see flashbacks of when they, better times, warmer times, when they were cavorting together all the time. But now Nathan's like, so the bromance and stuff, it stopped. You know, coming to the end of last season, the way he was treating women was fucked.
Mm-hmm. That was the same way you've been treating him for years. I mean, look, I get what you're saying, that Joe is worse than Nathan. But could we also just consider it more successful than Nathan? Because I think part of this is jealousy.
I don't know. I think Nathan was definitely dicking around, but like ultimately, I feel like Nathan was dicking around, whereas Joe was actually making promises.
Yeah, Joe was terrible.
And he was selling stories and fantasies in a way that was more harmful than dicking around. Not like the dicking around was great, you know?
Yeah, but I think Joe is definitely a lot worse, because then he was telling that girl like, oh, I'm all in with you.
Yeah.
And I know your boyfriend's, you know, death anniversary is coming up or whatever that whole thing was. He's like, but it's just me and you. And then she's like, are you sure? Because like, it's like a really big deal. It's like, I'm sure. And then immediately he had a chance with Kizzy. I never said anything. I don't know why she's acting like I'm so in love with her.
Yeah. And he's still even doing it this season. Like, I'm going to have fun. So he's just, you know, and that was just so obnoxious and so awful. So, you know, I'm still going to, given that they're both bad, I'm still going to give it worse.
I don't know. Nathan made Gail cry. So,
yeah, that's a fair point. Sorry,
it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot for me to get over it. Okay.
I have a lot of balls up. And there's a lot to open up.
Have you thought about how this affects me? Okay. A haircut does not fix everything, but it is a nice baby step.
It's just like really hard because like she pulled him for a chat. So now Nathan is upset. He's like, fucking Joe Bradley, man. Oh God. And then Sandy's like, what happened with him and Joel? Jeez. By the way, what do you think the odds are that they're going to have V come in after someone gets fired? Then all of a sudden, like, we've got a new deckhand. It's V.
No, I don't know. I hope not. It seems like this new crew, and not that I didn't like her, but I don't like going back. And Below Deck gives us so many new cast members that even having these two on the same one, I'm like, Although it is very promising watching them hate each other so far, even in the first episode. But for the most part, I like that they keep changing it, you know?
Well, now Joy comes on board. And Joy is like, I thought when I was 14 years old as dishwasher at a restaurant, but I didn't know I would become exclusive private chef. I cooked for Paul McCartney, Leonardo DiCaprio, Rihanna. I mean, these are people, but I don't remember. I don't know, whatever. I cook for a lot of wealthy people, but people told me I'm very intense and I always say what I'm feeling and it put me in trouble a couple of times. Hee hee. And she has this big smile on her face. She's basically saying, yeah, I'm going to be psycho. Just wait.
Yeah, she's like, I get in trouble for telling people off, and it's fun. And then she opens her fridge, and she's like, oh, I could put my crew members inside the wheel. Like, yes, already threatening to murder people. It's my kind of girl. Yeah. So Joy meets her, and she's like, well, it turns out there's a cabin where there's only one person, so you get that. All right, you've got the hardest job. It's like, oh, really? It's nice. I do not trust it.
So now Joy is like, oh my galley, what a mess. And now Aisha doesn't
look. It's actually one of the cleanest galleys we've seen.
I know,
right?
It's small though.
It's so small.
It's got like one of those like little IKEA like temporary islands in the middle of it, you know.
Oh, did it?
That's what it looked like to me. I know it wasn't temporary, but like it felt like
I used to have one of those things.
It has a temporary energy.
Temp energy.
Nice non-permanent kitchen island energy. Temp.
So Aisha is in the laundry room and Nathan comes in and scares her and they hug. I'm like, oh, how's being a dad? Oh, is this your baby? I love beige.
He's like, that's actually the best thing ever. Honestly, it's the best thing ever.
Well, you were born to be a dad, honestly.
He's like, yeah, I can fucking barely look after myself. How am I going to manage a fucking baby?
Yeah. And the Gail and the baby are staying close. Now they're looking over CVs and he's like, oh God, Joe Bradley. She's like, are you on okay terms? Like, well, he texted me a few times, but I just haven't even texted him back.
Well, I was aware that Joe and Nathan weren't heading in the right direction, but I didn't want to interfere with my relationship with both of them. Nathan's like a little brother to me, whereas Joe's that crazy uncle that it's always funny when he shows up at Christmas that you know he's going to put his foot in his mouth somehow, and you're going to have to deal with the repercussions.
I'm like, I hate those people.
Well, first of all, that's me. So I was taking this very personally.
You're not like, the crazy
excuse
uncle.
Me, how
you're
dare
the fun
you?
Uncle.
Well, I'm the uncle that comes over on the holidays, and you're like, ooh, all right, take the bottle. Someone hide the bottle, because he's going to blow. He's going to blow.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now here comes Cooper. He's like, I'm Coop. Nice to meet you. And Nathan, they're all like, oh, nice to meet you. Where are you from? He's like, South Carolina. He's like, what? It's like, oh, I don't think you're going to fit in that bed. He's like, usually I sleep diagonal.
He's like, God, you're fucking tall, mate.
They're so
Jesus.
Tall.
How are you so even going to sleep here?
They literally cannot fit in the frame of the camera.
He's like, but you've been on a lot of boats, right? And he's like, I've been doing this for about a month, so I'm greener than a green bean. That being said, I might not have much knowledge, but I'm tall.
I've got strength and I've got work ethic. I'm like, are you... Why does he sound like he's signing up to go on a quest somewhere? Well, I sure would like to come along. My farm burned down. I got nothing left to offer but strength and willpower. Okay, you can come with us.
I was playing football for 6 years. We know.
We can tell.
We see it. You have football face.
There's football impression just baked into your cheek.
Yeah, point. There's no hot, like, tall guy in the South that didn't, like, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I've been in knitting club for the past 6 years.
Yeah, right, shock me.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Glee Club, something. Yeah, we know. It was his dream to make it to the NFL. And he was ranked 14th tight end in the nation. Well, on this boat, you are ranked number one tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Say that. And I'm I'm the coalition of sports. Both sports.
The tightest end.
I'm the federation of leagues.
You bring the brains, I'll bring the muscles. We'll get it done.
So Nathan's like, shut, I'm Irish. There's not many brains here.
He's like, I don't get it. Okay.
But see, I love a self-aware man. You bring the brains.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Starting a commotion.
Yes. So Kaylee comes on and Nathan and Joy are talking meanwhile. And Nathan's like, are you nervous? She's like, no. He's like, you're not nervous? She goes, I've been to hell before.
She's like, I cooked for Leonardo DiCaprio. Do you know how hard it is to be a woman above 23 on a boat with Leonardo DiCaprio? He just doesn't even look at you.
He wouldn't eat the steak I gave him because it was aged.
So now we have this moment of Sandy in her new chair, and she's trying to use it, and she's like adjusting everything. It's like,
God. Oh, gee. Oh, her ankles are above her head. She's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's too much. That's too much. All right. Coming back. Oh, geez. Oh, wow. Wow.
She's spinning around. She's like on The Voice.
So now we meet Kaylee. Where's she from? Kaylee?
I think she's Australian.
Okay. She's like, oh, I think I told you need to calm down because I get too excited. And it's like, and I could never do cocaine because I would literally explode.
Yes. You know, the top of Kaylee would be gone. That is me in the third person, which end would come out? We don't know. The battery never dies. You know, sometimes that works in my favor, but sometimes it doesn't. But like in a work environment, I can work like really hard. Like, you know, like Energizer Bunny from like the battery commercials. Yes, we know the Energizer Bunny from the battery commercials. We don't need further context.
It's like, oh, sorry, I kicked something. I just can't stop. So now Luke comes and introduces himself, and he goes to Joy, the chef. She's like, hello. And he's like, hi, where are you from? She's like, I'm French.
He goes, enchanté. He goes, salut. And he goes, wow, 2S Trey Bell. And she's like, stop it.
So now Nathan meets him, and he's like, oh, my God, you're fucking tall too.
And then Luke meets Cooper, and Luke is like, damn. He's like, you're a unit. He's like, you're two big ass guys. Still trying to figure out that Irish joke about the brains, though. Makes sense to you?
So Genevieve and Kat arrive and meet each other. And Genevieve is like, yeah, I've been yachting since I was 18. I've worked on 35 meters to 127 meters. I've been a service stew. I've always been a chief stew on smaller boats. But like I'm basically pretty big. My mom looks fucking poor right now.
And then Kat is, I feel like is a little generic right now. We don't know anything. We don't like have an angle in on her so far. But she's like, I've done about 7 months of yachting so far. I've been a true super yacht in Monaco, and I've also sailboats as well, and only in a short amount of time.
So, wait, which one is Kat?
Kat, that's what I'm saying. Like, she hasn't really popped yet. She's like the one that's not...
She's not the blonde one?
She's not the perky one, and she's not the New York one.
Okay. Yeah, she's the one like, oh my God, everybody's fighting.
Yeah, she's that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then Genevieve, and then, you know, we're getting the difference between them. Like, one's chill and one's really not chill at all. So we cut back to Genevieve and she's like, yeah, I've worked for some of the most famous and wealthiest people. The Kardashians, Bad Bunny, athletes. I've served everybody. Then we go back to Kat. She's like, yeah, the last bit I had like frat boys. And I was sleeping and I left the hatch open because it was hot. And then I woke up at 4 a.m. and I was like, oh my God, it's raining in the boat. And then I look up and I'm like, oh, it's not drunk. It's not raining. A frat boy is peeing on me. So.
So Kat's big contribution to the episode so far is that she got peed on. OPP, other people's pee. So now they all meet and they talk. They're like, wow, Luke, whoa, it's huge. So now Aisha gathers the stews together, and she's like, oh, I do guys just want to tell about your experience. And they're all like, I was a soul stew. And Genevieve says, yeah, I was a soul stew. And I moved up to chief stew on a 37 meter. Suck it, mom. And I moved to a service stew on a 127 meter. And I do love service, as every stew loves service, right?
Yeah, and Kat's new to the industry, okay? But she was also a soul stew, so she's done a lot, guys. And she's like, oh my God, I've been so blessed. What the hell? You know, look, all I have, Jen is my right girl, my night girl, sorry. Kayleigh mid-shift and me and Kat in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Now, for now, you're all one boss stewies, all right? And as time goes on, I'll delegate second stew. And Genevieve is like,
she gives this look like, really? She's not happy. You know, her parents are like, wow, who's successful now? One bar stewardess daughter. Now, excuse us while we get back to our high-functioning law firms and psychoanalysts.
Practices. As lawyers, we would like to point out that both our bars combined are two bars. So, fun with your one bar, kid.
It's like, hi, we are Genevieve's parents. We're Mr. and Mrs. Wall, as in Wall Street. We invented it. They're very successful.
Her dad's the bull. So, yeah. So Genevieve's really upset, but I like that they do. I like when they do this. They're like, let's see who literally earns their stripes, because I don't like that the most confident best pitcher wins, you know? Like the person comes in there, oh my God, I've done everything. I know Leonardo DiCaprio. So they should automatically win. I like that it's based on, you know.
I feel like I'd like that, but then what I think happens is that if they're all the same level, it creates like a cutthroat infighting that we even see in this episode, as opposed to like having a clearer hierarchy. So yeah. I think what would be better would be like, these are the temp stripes, but after one charter, I'm going to reevaluate to see if this was the correct decision.
So you'd be okay if there was like a time limit that was given,
like a check-in, because. I mean, yeah, because I feel like it's not always great when everyone starts off as like the same tier, because you do see like it gets wow. Nasty.
Okay, utopia denied.
I want a hierarchy. I don't want a meritocracy. I mean, I do want a meritocracy.
It's like, I want a better room than you. Period.
Listen, if someone has been doing it,
this
for
is not a Hyatt place. Years, okay, we do not all get the same rooms.
This is a cheerocracy. Okay. But either way, it's all, but at the same time, for entertainment value, great, because it's wonderful watching someone like Genevieve spiral by being like with the hoi polloi of her other stews.
Yeah, so Nathan gives Gail a call and it's like, how's your first day? How's the crew? You want me to mush up your favorite? He's like, you're talking to me, not the baby.
I can't help it.
He's like, well, he's like, well, guess what? I've got Joe. Dun, dun, dun. And he's like, I've got no plan of attack yet, though. To be honest, well, I've got to go. I love you. Bye-bye. Bye, baby. So Joe comes, and Nathan sees him, and he's like, oh, you fucking dick.
Yeah. Well, because Joe's also, like, showing up in, like, white slacks and, like, a black, like, sleeveless t-shirt that looks so cheesy. I mean, like, why are you? It's just awful. Well,
sorry for working out.
I appreciate his arms, but like, you know, that this outfit's ridiculous. So Nathan's pretty much trying to avoid him. Meanwhile, Joe comes in and says hi to Aisha, then says hi to Sandy, and Cindy's like, hey, what have you been up to aside from working out those guns you got there? It's like, oh,
bosun, tender driver, captain, day charters on an 18-meter boat as a captain, you know, take some bubble baths, have a little inflatable tugboat in there. So I think that counts too. So it's been pretty exciting.
Yeah. He's like, I've really been focusing. I've been focusing on my career since the last charter. I immediately became bosun, day charters mostly. But still, I want to work until I can't physically work anymore. You were a bosun on day charters. That's not the same.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Doing like a little like 12-person booze cruise around the bay of something. Yeah. Not the same.
And Sandy's like, what happened between you and Nathan? Give me the tea, girl.
He's like, I'm about to go find out.
It's like, well, go do that. Bring your best self.
Why are you upside down there right now? Hold on a second. Okay. Okay. Say it to my face. Go ahead.
You know, BB recommended that we get a dental chair in here, and I'm not sure that's working out so well.
So Aisha's like, get to work. We got to go. So everybody's working. And Joe finally approaches Nathan, and he's like, hello, Nathan Gallagher. And he's like, oh, hi. And Joe's like, oh, look, look at these tall guys. I'm the smallest one again. Great. I think this is great. They brought back Joe and Nathan. Joe, mostly the womanizer. Nathan, part-time womanizer. But they're like, okay, we're going to bring back Joe, even though he's a huge douchebag, but we're going to give him major competition by giving him people a foot taller than him.
Yeah.
And I like that. I thought that was a good move on casting's part. They're like, let's bring back Joe, but put him in the most insecure position we can.
He's going to spiral.
Yeah.
So Joe's like, long time no speak. He's like, yeah, I just got changed and we can put away our personals later. We just need to get cracking on. So Joe's like, oh, fucking Christ. So now it's like awkward because like Nathan was very frosty to him. So he's getting ready there. And then the deckhands are cleaning the deck. And already Nathan's like, so any of the girls tickle your fancy boys? Because we're about 5 minutes into this experience together. I need to know like who you want to couple up with.
Who are we fucking?
Who you're pulling for a chat? Which door do you want to stand in front of?
And Cooper's like, well, it's hard to find one that doesn't, but I think I like the Aussie girl. You know, that's going to be some competition, I'll tell you that much.
And Luke is like, well, she with such a dashing stallion like Joe on Dick, it's going to be some competition. He's from South Africa, right? He left from Cape Town.
Luke, the other tall guy?
Luke.
I think he's American.
He just was in Cape Town?
I think so.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I didn't hear him talk that much, but I think he's American.
I was really just looking at his arms. So everything he was saying was like, bom, 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 bom.
Whenever there's a new guy on these shows, I'm like, how is this guy going to hurt my feelings? That's all I'm concentrating on. So we go to Kat and Genevieve cleaning cabins, and they're doing the same thing. Like, you single? Genevieve is single, and Kat's single too. She's like, but I don't want to bang the wrong person. It's so funny. I'm just like a goody two-shoes. Genevieve is like, die in your sleep.
Genevieve's like, so you're not into hookup culture and stuff like that? She's like, no, I usually like to wait a bit. Like, I just like to gauge. Is there anything you wouldn't do? She goes, no, I feel like I've done it already, which is why I deserve 3 stripes, bitch.
So Luke tells us he's 35 years old, which is old for a boat, but he's only worked in yachting the past 16 months because he had so many different dreams: hospitality, personal training, sea rescue, military training. This man doesn't go to work.
He's unfocused.
This man calls I'm sick a lot.
Yeah, he's unfocused. He says, you know, I try to bring all that into how I approach yachting. I'm Swiss Army Luke. The scissors, the hacksaw, the corkscrew, the nail clippers, got it all.
If you need a Navy SEAL who can also bring you a bagel and tell you how to do push-ups, that's me.
It's not a bad
sounds
offer.
Hot.
I was about to say, that sounds great.
I know. You see, I still like him because it's just episode one. I'm giving him all the best attributes of all of those things.
So now Joe is talking to Nathan, and Joe's like, well, for your security, I just came off a boat 50 meter as bosun and have delegated. I felt your energy upstairs, and I was like, have you even heard the messages? And he's like, no, I haven't. I just didn't see the need for it. I felt bad for V last year. It's like, oh, so did I, but I'm not going to say I didn't.
Yeah, but you were the one who made her feel bad. So yeah. Being like, oh, I feel bad for her too.
Yeah.
But you did it. So Nathan's like, yeah, but you did it. Nathan says what I said. He's like, well, I like to have fun. I'm probably not going to stop. What should I apologize? So sorry for having fun.
Well, then don't say you feel bad. Like you either genuinely feel bad or you just say you have fun. Yeah. So Nathan's like, well, then that's how you feel about it. But I'm not going to waste my time fucking talking about it. It was a bunch of bullshit. Like, I'm not fucking around this year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good to
I'm
see
you. I'm a dad.
You. Love
baby.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Nathan's like, this is not the start I wanted. But to see him defend it, Joe's a complete asshole. And Joe's like, yeah, sure. I didn't handle the situation with Victoria as well as I should. But in my defense, we only knew each other a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Just because I told her I was all in.
Well, then why were you crying so much?
How'd you get so confused?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why were you sobbing?
Yeah. If it was just a nothing, why were you sobbing? You were sobbing because you knew you were being a piece of shit. You knew it emotionally, and then you wanted everyone to feel bad for you.
Yeah.
So enough out of you, sir. Now Luke goes over to Joy and starts speaking French. She's like, why you speak French? He's like, because I believe I'm going to marry a French woman one day, and there's just something about their character and their feistiness and the no bullshit. I love it. She goes, ugh, this guy.
Oh my God.
God. Come on, I survived Leonardo DiCaprio charter. You think this is going to work with me?
Let me guess, you are going to request protein 10 times a day from me.
I'm not falling for this.
Mon Dieu.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a 2-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says
part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.